Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray. It is a Monday on The Usual Suspects. We appreciate you taking us along for the ride. The show is a three-hour extravaganza, as you well know by now, and if you don't, we're telling you. If you missed any of the first 2 hours when we were just exclusively on ESPN 97.5, here's what you do. You go to ESPN975.com. You click on the show tab for The Usual Suspects. You'll find hour number one, hour number two, and you can catch up on everything you missed. And while you're there on the website, you can also download the app and take us anywhere, everywhere, and listen to every show every day, all the time.
Do it. Don't be silly. Don't be a dummy.
Wow, you held back.
Get the app. Check out the podcast.
And you soft sold it with dummy. Normally you're just like, don't be stupid.
Yeah. A dumbass or something like that. Yeah. I would never do that. I would never cuss at our listeners. They're fine, fine people.
Let alone use the B word.
Most of them. Terrible. I would never say that on the air. A couple things from the Astros news and notes department. Apparently, at the, it was some dealy that went down on Saturday. Jim Crane said Friday, or it was on Friday, the team's still interested in re-signing Dallas Keuchel and Marwin Gonzalez. The Astros would love to have them. Luno did, however, reveal there is a decent likelihood that the Astros will make another move. And he admitted, though, that he wants them back, but he hasn't said whether they're really pursuing them, or I think it was more of a, oh yeah, we'd love to have them back. And in the case of Marwin, it doesn't make as much sense because you have Aledmys Diaz, right, and he's already a utility guy, and you can get him, and it's a younger version of what Marwin is. Dallas, I would love, as we talked last week, yep, wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit if they brought him back, even on a shorter deal, just because I think he could shore up a rotation that I don't know, as it stands right now, is as good as it was last year. In fact, I know it's not as good as it was last year. So that might help a little bit. And then he went on to say he wouldn't hesitate to trade prospects to improve the rotation. I did it twice already. I'm prepared to do it again. Of course, he did it with Verlander and Cole. So they're looking. And that's why I think what led to the question earlier in the show from the text line, what do you think the Astros will sign somebody today? It's hard to tell when that's going to happen.
Right.
It would be a guess on our part unless we have some, source, and no sources are telling me that. And I don't know if you've heard anything, but I think that the Astros are still players in the market. And it also mentioned the fact that they've been runner up a couple of different times this year already on deals. So they're very active and they're trying. So you can't get mad at them, even if they don't land a huge name, which they still have done a decent offseason.
Sure.
But if they don't land a huge name, it wasn't because they didn't try, because they even mentioned that, hey, we've tried a couple of times. We just didn't, quite have what it took to land that person or that trade.
I wrote an article last night that came out this morning for sportsmap.com on the exact topic of the fact that Luno has been in the discussion for everybody, including names that you never thought you'd be in the discussion for, in a Bryce Harper situation. Mm-hmm. He's been knee-deep in JT Realmuto, trying to get that all-star young catcher that the Astros have a need for. But I think in the Marwin and Dallas situation, and Dallas more so, there's a chance, like you said, because he is a starting pitcher, because they haven't done anything else to replace Morton and losing McCullers and all the things that they're going through with the rotation. But Marwin, you're right. They have a DS. They have a replacement for him. And look, if the numbers are even close, 3 years and like 18 or 19 a year for a Marwin Gonzalez from the Braves and maybe the Brewers, you want to use that money to shore up your weaknesses, mm-hmm. which is starting pitching. Maybe look at catcher. I don't know. But starting pitching is the obvious glaring place where they would focus all their efforts. And it was FanFest this weekend. So, of course, he's going to – Luno and everybody else is going to be absolutely – there's going to be a deluge of media. They're going to bombard him with questions. So they're going to try and say the right thing because it's mostly fans in the building. But at the same time, realistically, people I've talked to have said, yeah, I think they're already moved on from Marwin, mm-hmm. but that Dallas is a possibility.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what moves they do make and if they're – at some point, if it comes out of everybody that they've gone after and tried to make the moves for. But I think it's safe to say it's a team that won't stand pat, and they realize what kind of window they have. So,
and the crux of the article that I wrote about was I found three different sites now with their projected win-loss totals. All of them, whether it be 97.5, 96.5, 98, but all three of them have the Astros with the best record in baseball, regardless of what number that's at.
I just think that's really high for a team that went from the rotation that it had last year, where your 3, 4, and 5 were Keuchel, McCullers, and, you know, Morton, mm-hmm. to now it's Peacock and McHugh and someone else, right. that you don't know yet, whether it's, you know, James or whoever. It's a lot different rotation, and I realize they're maybe a little better at the plate, and they might get a little better at the plate. Not the same pitching staff. Better in the bullpen for the entire year. Got a legitimate closer. I get all that. But, boy, that rotation is night and day compared to what it was last year.
Offensively, because as long as the core four all get over their injuries, and everybody, all signs are saying that Correa, Altuve, Springer, all going to be 100% for spring training, and that it, obviously Bregman with getting the chips out of the elbow, it might take a little longer, but he should be ready for opening day. But you add a Michael Brantley. You add at least a better hitting catcher. But overall, I'd say offensively, that's going to get you. But I'm with you. The good news is, hey, there's still time. It's not like you're in the middle of the season. You got to make a move or try and do something to try and improve your team. All these guys are still sitting out there. And when we started this entire hot stove and free agency process, the two guys that led the list are still dangling out there,
yeah.
in Machado and Harper. And we mentioned Keuchel and multiple others.
Well, you can take Machado off the list. That's just not happening.
No, it's not coming here.
No.
Not coming here. But I'm just saying they're all out there, and we're 3 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting. Things got to start falling into place, man.
I'm so geeked up about pitchers and catchers reporting.
It.
By the way, there was also talk about, have they looked at or considered a long-term putting in place a long-term contract or having talks with Carlos Correa. Correa actually came out and said, for me right now, it's not the time to talk about an extension. Obviously, coming off the injury last year and a down year, I'm looking forward to bouncing back, but the player I am be the player I am as we go forward. So no talks yet, but same thing. The article also mentioned no talks with Verlander about an extension that he would be open to, but usually you don't have those talks until everybody gets signed, free agency is over with, and then training camp starts, and that's when they said, the article says that's when teams will look internally and say, okay, now that we've got everything else lined up, let's extend some of the existing players we have on. So that might be when you see Verlander get a new deal or get an
extended deal. I'm glad that he's open to it.
I mean,
it just depends. If he's open to it at the same money he's been making, depends on how long of a deal it's going to be.
And I was thinking about that because we talked about this last week, and I said he would retire. And, man, maybe his best year last year. 36 is old, but he doesn't pitch like he's 36.
No, the guy gains velocity in the ninth inning.
He pitches like he's 30. And so maybe I'm wrong on this. Maybe he's got it. Maybe he's one of those guys that can pitch into his 40s. He seems like, you know, he holds up well. He's durable. Maybe he does get a 4-year extension.
That values the Hall of Fame. He's a guy that values kind of like the whole being a part of history and, you know, mentioned amongst the greats. So I don't think he's going to retire. I do think, though, the one thing that you run yourself because of the season he had last year is if he wants more. Because you still have to sign Cole in another year, I mean, after this mm-hmm. year, too. And you don't know what his price tag is going to be. That's going to be a big factor when you look at it. And from a Correa perspective, after a down year, Astros would do it because they'd be trying to get a bargain.
But he's not. That's why he won't do it. Yeah, he's against that, and he says as much. After the year I had last year, no, let's just focus on me becoming the player I'm supposed to be before I start negotiating. But he's also got to get through arbitration. That's a long way
off.
But
also, let's be honest, in knowing that it's a big deal for these players when they were talking about $400 million men. It was the two guys that are still out there in Machado and Harper. And Correa was a guy that down the pike was a guy that said 400, maybe 500. And he hasn't lived up to that after the year, so he's had.
It's funny you mentioned that, because one of the things I was reading about was Jim Crane saying, you know, the days of a 10-year contract are gone. The analytics tells us that those deals do not work and that the value that you have, the ROI, isn't there. So, and you've seen it. Harper's not getting
that.
Can
I give you one?
Machado's not getting that. Those might be, you may not have to worry about stuff like that anymore.
Albert Pujols.
Yeah.
When he left the Cardinals, everybody's like, oh man, he's leaving. He's getting got paid for too long. And now he's getting a monster load of money to do nothing but DH.
To limp to first base.
Yep. So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, please join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HR&P listener line. It's the usual suspects, back with more in just a few minutes.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1. We'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. They made everything official on Friday, so congratulations abound on the Blitz side of things. Aaron, our good friend Aaron Raybould, is the new producer of the Blitz.
Yeah.
Hardworking dude. Well deserved there.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that I got the deluge of tweets because it was announced at 6:30 Friday night.
Oh, really?
That Mr. Hoffman's new position is programmed.
No, they did. Yeah. I missed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Question for both of you.
Yes.
So our friend of the show, friend of us, friend of the people, man of the people, one William D. Washington, Billy D. Washington.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Works the cruise ships as well as the road as a comedian.
I know where you're going with this.
And posted about this week, he's working on a nude cruise. A cruise with nothing but nudists, like people that just walk around nude.
Of all ages?
That was a weird question.
I'm just saying.
Are you asking if there's 10-year-olds?
No, I'm just saying. Kidding. I'm just worried if there's old 80-year-olds.
Yeah. I know. Because then you think people always take their families on cruises, and then that is a whole different issue. And then, like, do old people go, so apparently it's 21 and up. All ages after that, doesn't matter. You can be 80 and your breast can be, you know, like
80 inches
at your
long.
Hip. At your hip, it doesn't matter.
The OGBs.
Yes. So apparently there's some rules on the cruise. No making out in public places. No lingerie. And no drink packages. Like, you can't bring drinks on. And then I asked, will you be performing in front of people nude? He said, I won't be nude, but the crowd will be nude. And then they said, no body shaming. When you're on stage, you can't make fun of the people in the crowd. I'm firing off small penis jokes right out the chute, folks. There's no way you're not getting me to make fun of a dude with a small penis if he's nude in the crowd. I'm sorry. You know what? If you don't want me to joke about your small penis, don't show it to me.
Put the menu over
it. I have a rule. I don't show people my penis, then they can't make fun of it. That's how that rule goes. I just feel like if you're going to be on a nudie ship cruise thing and people start making fun of your genitals, you get what you deserve. Now, let's be real, though. Most dudes with a small penis aren't going on a nude cruise. There may be a few guys that just don't care. They're like, whatever, just what Jesus, how Jesus made me. It's what it is. I don't care. A lot of dudes, that's also why I have a theory, like, dudes with small penises don't send D pics. That's just not a thing you send. You just don't do that. Why would you?
This is the full circle of when you first started taking speech class in high school, and they said, how do you get over your fears? Well, you get up there. When you get up there, you imagine the whole audience is in their underwear. Or worse, they're naked. And then you relax because you're like, well, they're naked, so I can just do this. Well, he's actually living it. I couldn't believe some of the comments, too. And he's like, before any of you continue to do this, I am not partaking.
He's his. So I feel I can say this because all of his posts on Facebook are public. So anyone can go and see them. But some of the things that he's saying, average age is 65.
Oh no.
Average Hell relationship no. status is, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people sitting on their balls right now.
Hell no.
Crushing them.
Just a lot. Like getting, you know how you sit in the lawn chairs and they've got the little slats?
Yep.
Stuck in, fall in between them. You're going to stand
up. Stuck in the middle again.
You're going to stand up and the chair stands up with you because your stuff's in between there. Average sense of humor, he put heightened. Most people are married. Very kind people. He said the average attitude, everybody's very kind. But he said, true story, one guy walks to the guest services desk and says, why is it so cold on this ship? That would be the one. Yeah.
They may be generous, but I'm sure he's not accepting tips.
Oh. Well done, my friend.
No,
well done. I would, one, I...
Well, that's what I was going to say. Would you do that?
Okay. Would I go on a nude cruise as a member of the nude cruise crew?
Would you perform
comedy clothed
on the ship?
I would, but I would be like, can we compromise on the body shaming? Because I want to make fun of some people. Because I'm going to make fun of people in a crowd, especially if they heckle. If that's the thing, if somebody heckled me and they look weird and they're naked, I'm not allowed to use that to my advantage?
Right.
No. You'd have to send the helicopter to come and get me because I'm going to take my shot. I may be gone, but I'm going to take my shot.
You'd also have to alter your material because you can't tell a dad to go S-A-D.
Oh, no, I definitely wouldn't do that. That would be really awkward. I don't think you can do that on the cruises anyways. They would not take kindly to that.
Gotta be, hey, glad you asked.
Yeah.
Thanks.
But that would be really weird to look out into.
Oh, man.
I hope he's getting paid because there's no way I'm doing
that. Oh, definitely
getting
paid.
Yeah, cruise ships do pretty well.
Because he's been doing a lot of, like you said, he's had a deal to do cruise ships for quite a while.
Busy man. Busy man. And works the road a lot. And Billy's done it all in comedy, man. There's few people that have the list.
Now, what about,
of accolades,
okay, Barry,
and,
so
and
you,
job? He was on VH1 forever. Yeah. He had his own show on a couple shows on VH1. Yep. So, yeah.
So you're Billy, okay? Doing the show.
Tall, handsome black man.
After the show, where everybody clears out of the tables, they're like, Barry, we made you some food, so why don't you just sit down here at this table right here and just plop on down on this chair. And we'll have someone bring it out for you.
Nope. Not.
Seriously, the cleanup crew has got to be like 10 times the normal.
Oh, my God.
Just for the fact that guys are sitting on their junk all on a chair and women got their wares all over.
Every chair in there has butt sweat on it. Every single one of them. There's just no way that I would be, if I wasn't on stage, I would be in my room where I know I was the only one in there. I would go.
Walk out of your room. Oh, hey.
I would go get food. I would go get food, and then I would bring it back to my room and just eat in my room. There's just no way I couldn't do it. Because I'm a people watcher anyways, which really is weird if they're new.
That's what I mean.
You can't be, because then people start accusing you of being like a meat gazer. And I'm like, no, I'm just a people watcher, but that dude's naked. What do you want me to do?
See, that's what I was going. If you go out of your room, and normally you're trying not to let them see that you're looking, but you're going to catch a glimpse if it's a beautiful woman or whatever like that. But now you're going to be, do they expect you to look?
How, you think there's any chance that there's a hot chick on that cruise?
No, I'm not saying that particular one. I'm saying if you're out in public and you see a hot chick,
right,
you're not going to like stare them down and just like gaze at them and drool out of your mouth. You're going to catch corner of your eye.
Sure, you side eye. Keep
right.
moving.
But on this, it almost is like they want you to look.
Do they? I don't think nudists necessarily want you to look. I think they're just proud to be free to take their clothes off. And they're comfortable enough in their own skin, literally, to just be like, I don't have to wear clothes and be restricted by the man or whatever their beliefs are. But I don't know that they're necessarily flaunting. I'm sure there are some. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure there are some that are flaunting
you
it.
You want
but
a selfie? I feel great about myself. You want a selfie?
I wonder if he has to do that, if he's selling merch after the show and people are like, can we take a picture with you? You bitches don't touch me, though. But we can do a picture, but I'm going to need y'all to stand way behind me. We'll make it look like we're side by side, but you're going to be, in fact, let me stand behind you. No, Frank, I don't want you behind me.
Yeah, this is going to be a head and shoulder shot.
With that stuff hanging out. You're going to get in front. I'm going to be behind. No, yeah, there's no way.
Can you imagine if you were in Fort Worth with that thing, with those pictures being taken?
That would be wild.
Talk about the doorbell and the oil changed. Look out.
That'd just be wild.
There's no parameters. No stopping you.
So this is normally for old people, though, right?
See, that's the thing. I mean, he said the average age is probably 65. So I'm feeling like this isn't, you know, a bunch of 20-something hard bodies and, oh, my God, my name is Becky. Do you like my new breast? Like, no, there's none of that.
So it's like 55 to, like, Barry Warner.
It's like Merle and Mildred and just gray hair.
Warner would participate in a cruise like this.
Totally.
Yeah, the last chance and dance for romance kind of thing for the older crowd to try and tie one on, so to speak. But
apparently, Mr. Warner swims naked. So
that's exactly why I brought it up.
Totally be up his alley.
Well, depending on the current.
What?
Which way the water's flowing, it probably is in his alley because he's swimming naked. I couldn't believe the first time he told me that. Like, he went and knocked on the neighbor's door and gave him the FYI. Hey, just so you know, I swim in the nude. God, I don't want to know that. I never want to see it.
That's just, that is weird.
And I hope his neighbors don't have kids.
Oh,
Daddy,
no kidding.
Why is that large man, hairy man, swimming naked? That would not be good.
No, and there's not been a single comment, question, or tweet that I could read on air. You people need help.
There you go. While you guys get some help, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the final half hour of the show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just a little less than 30 minutes on the clock as we take you up till 4 right here on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. The Blitz will take you from 4 till 7. You don't have to do a thing. So we appreciate you taking us along for the ride on a Monday of Super Bowl week.
Is their producer starting today? Is Aaron going to be in today?
I see him in here.
Oh, okay, cool.
Either today or tomorrow. I know he's running around. I think he is.
Yeah. I think he is.
Very good.
Because another... kudos and shout outs. Congratulations to Tyler Scott, who was also promoted. So Tyler got a new gig as well. So he's going to be busy behind the scenes, sitting at a desk. And
so is he no longer producing any shows? Is he still doing Palillo?
He's not doing Palillo, and I know he's not doing The Blitz.
Who's doing Palillo now?
Jose Partida.
Oh, wow. Oh,
so shout out to Jose as well. Congratulations.
So much
well
movement,
deserved.
Man.
Yeah. Lots of stuff moving and shaking and moving.
It's always around this time of year, too. It's always around Super Bowl. Well,
that's a good call.
That it all gets shaken up and moved and shook.
Still haven't managed to get rid of YouTube, but I'm still working on it.
Are you? Are you working on it? It's just going to be The Usual Suspect?
Yeah.
Just
one dude behind a board talking into a mic. Yep.
Okay. I see where your head's at now. Now I know.
Good luck with Lawn Talk.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good luck.
That'll be fun for you.
Good luck carrying a Lawn Talk segment by yourself. Mm-hmm. Bush killer.
Jerry tweeted, "Can you imagine Barry doing Lawn Talk on the cruise naked?"
Yeah, I wouldn't do Lawn Talk on a cruise, Jerry. That tweet made no sense.
Plus, you're a comedian.
I would be clothed.
You're not doing the radio show from the ship.
There is a show in Houston. Actually, there's a show in Houston which is something about, it's like strip comedy. And you are competing against another comic and you tell a joke, and if the audience laughs, the other comic has to take off a piece of clothing. If they don't laugh, you have to take off a piece of clothing. So it goes back and forth until you're down to your underwear. When I was in LA at the Burbank Festival, I was talking to a dude from Portland who said they did a show bucket naked, like completely naked.
No.
And he said that it was liberating and like, oh, I just felt so free on stage. And now I don't worry about anything after doing that. And he said, and everyone was so respectful that they all just looked me in the eyes. I was like, BS, bro. They looked you in the eyes when you looked at them.
That's right.
And when you weren't looking, they were checking out your weenus.
Plus, if you were in the middle of that, remember the advice I gave you when you went up to the Twin Cities to do comedy?
Which was
layers.
Yeah, layers.
I would do the same thing if you were in the strip comedy thing. Totally. I got full confidence you're going to win, but at the same time,
totally.
Layers, bro.
Nine pair of underwear
yes.
on. Absolutely.
Well, even then, it'll make your package look bigger until you get down to it. I think there's rules
for that. You can't.
Golly, man. That would change the whole dynamic of everything, because you're concentrating, focusing, and trying to hit your cues and everything else with the way you're delivering it.
I don't need to. That
would throw you off, wouldn't it?
Totally. Yeah.
Man, that would be weird.
I worry about my zipper being down when I go on stage. Are you kidding me?
Well, I can see that. But the other thing is, like, if you're there, I mean, I don't get it. I just don't know. Why do you want to go to a comedy show in the nude?
I don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're getting out of all that, but okay. By the way, I don't know if you saw this or not, but that simulcast we were talking about with the ESPN and ABC for that stupid Pro Bowl yesterday, Jason Witten continues to have a hell of a year. Yes. He broke the trophy.
Did he just pick it up wrong?
So there's like this big kind of like artsy top to it. Yeah. Like an egg-shaped thing.
A football.
And then it fits on the base, which is, it's like a football-shaped right thing. And it fits on a base where they have the names of the previous winners and everything like that. He goes to just grab the top part and just comes flying off. And then he didn't even take the time, it was like he was nervous. So he didn't take the time to get it to kind of see if it could fit back in.
He just kind of set it
on the top and just handed it from the bottom. He's like, what are you doing?
I would have just handed him that part and played it off. I did hear, apparently, he had another gaffe or a verbal boo-boo on the call. Did you hear about that?
No.
So apparently Mahomes threw a touchdown pass to Eric Ebron, and Jason Witten said, yeah, that was one of his favorite targets all year. Jason, Ebron's a Colt, and Mahomes is a Chief, and those are not the same thing, young man. Not at all. Can you believe that?
He pulled the Stephen A. Like, is Hunter Henry in the Pro
Bowl? That's what somebody said. They were like, only Stephen A. would appreciate a call like that.
Golly. And then, I don't know if you guys caught this or not either, but evidently tomorrow night on Real Sports, they're doing a segment on Adam Schefter.
Okay.
And I saw a clip on YouTube where he goes into detail about how it's like the greatest drug you can ever find when you're the guy that actually breaks a big story. And they get back in the conversation and the interviewer says, so have you ever broken a story to a player? And he basically says, I don't know about the players, but he breaks the story that new Packers coach Matt LaFleur, he gets him on the phone and he congratulates him. And Matt LaFleur says, what are you talking about? And he said, well, did they call you yet? And he goes, no. He goes, well, I just talked to every other candidate that was a finalist. They're out. You're in. Congratulations. You're the new coach of the Packers. And LaFleur had no idea, and the team hadn't called him yet.
That's embarrassing.
That's crazy. But I told you guys, that's what we're living in these days between agents and organizations.
Yeah.
And all of they think they're going to get something on the flip side for flipping them a bone and letting them break a story. But in a lot of cases, before the news gets out to the people that need to get it, everyone else knows.
That's crazy, man. That would be... Oh. Would you feel bad as the reporter or the guy if you did that? Or do you put that on the Packers?
Depends on the news.
That's your fault.
So if that's good news...
Then you're okay.
You kind of feel good about it.
Yeah.
But if it's on the flip side, Matt, how does it feel to be fired?
Yeah.
What?
What do you mean? I was headed into work. What are you talking about? Ooh.
Kevin McHale told me the day they let him go... He left his phone outside the meeting room. He got out of the meeting. They had just told him he had been let go. And his cell phone could not take any more messages from people that were leaving him condolences and telling him all these positive things. And he's like, how do you know?
Yeah. By the way, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to burst out laughing. And Clarence just had tweet of the month. He's like, yeah, it broke because Jason Witten's not used to holding a trophy.
Oh, here comes the Cowboys coming at the Saints guy. And
oh, Clarence. Tweet of the month of January, bro.
Well played, sir.
Hilarious tweet. Super funny. By the way, Madden 19, they did their simulation for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Rams win 30-27.
We'll obviously get to this later in the week, but it's interesting. There's so much already in terms of locker room material.
I don't know what the – well, but I mean, just in regards to Madden, they simulate the whole game. They have all the players,
right,
and they simulate it. And according to the Madden simulation, 30-27 Rams. How accurate has that been in the past? That's what I'm curious about. I can't tell you.
I just know that the Patriots got 35,000 people in their stadium yesterday just to send them off to Atlanta.
That's dumb.
And Patrick Chung decided to say that we're going to whoop their ass.
That's dumb.
Yeah, which was not a smart move. But then to make matters worse, you got Rams guys. You got Roby Coleman, who didn't learn his lesson to just keep minding his business and playing the game. He came out and said that basically Brady's age is going to show.
Ooh.
And that's exactly what Brady wants. That's what he's been clamoring for all playoffs, about the underdog role, and people think we suck. And exactly, if you're a Ram player in that locker room, what you don't need is an extra motivated, fired up Tommy Brady.
So Madden had, in last year's Super Bowl, they had the Patriots winning like 23-20 or 24-20. I forgot what I saw. Obviously, not the case.
What was the final?
41-33.
That's right.
Yeah. So, nope. Not accurate last year, so probably not accurate this year.
We shall see, but hopefully it'll be a good game, because at least they had the spread right? Because right now I think it's right around 2.5, 3 points. So
is it?
That's about where it's at with that one right there. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up next. It's the Usual Suspects.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the final segment of the show. Barry, Nick, and Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. We appreciate you having us along for the ride on a Monday workday in the big city.
Man, it was so cold in Dallas, my lips got like really chapped because I had to walk like 4 blocks from the parking garage to the club.
Ooh.
And it was cold. And yeah, I'm like, there's nothing worse than chapped lips. Like, that just sucks.
We talked a little bit about this last week. Did you happen to see, because the forecast, and I cringe at saying this, because you know someone's going to jump all over this, but it's supposed to get really cold again tonight going into tomorrow.
See, I thought it was supposed to start tomorrow, and then someone said, no, it may start tonight.
Yeah, tonight overnight, it's supposed to get maybe under freezing, Cheetah says.
Oh, on the way out this morning to work, Nora goes, by the way, by the weekend, there's supposed to be a 100-degree difference in temperature between here and Chicago.
Yeah, so that's what I was getting at. So
crazy.
The weekend folks at KHOU decided to highlight the states that are in jeopardy of breaking the record for each state for the coldest day in the history of each state. Before I give you the temperatures, those states for the coming week are Illinois, mm-hmm, Wisconsin, mm-hmm, Minnesota, North Dakota, and like one other one.
Michigan.
Michigan was close. Yeah, I think close. You want to guess the temperatures there?
Minus 50.
Yep. Between minus 50 to minus 63 degrees.
Just
not the wind chill. Not the whole when you factor in this, that, and the humidity. No. We're talking about just the sheer temperature could get as low as minus 53 in Chicago.
Doesn't everything just freeze, like, doesn't your door just freeze shut at that point? Like negative 50?
Your,
like,
eyelids.
I was going to say, forget your door, your eyes. Like if your eyes water
outside
at all when you go outside, it's the weirdest feeling ever, but I've experienced it.
You've experienced minus 50.
No, I told Lisa that this weekend, just pure temperature alone, coldest I've ever been in is minus 27. And with the wind chill, it was in the minus 50s. But just flat temperature alone was in minus 27.
Nope.
You guys have a choice to move out of states like that.
That's what I tell everybody.
Look, dude, I'm sure you can live in another state that's reasonably affordable in terms of living, and you'll be fine. You want to shovel for a parking spot? That's you.
Polar negative vortex. 50?
Yep.
Negative 50?
The reason, right?
That's right. That's yeah. right. Yep.
Damn a polar vortex.
There's no way.
Damn minus 50.
Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. Not doing it.
I'm out.
Like, yeah, seriously, it's awful. I had a paper route back then, and I had to deliver papers. and my dad was like, okay, this is the one time, because you get toughen you out. Just get out there and deliver the papers. One time, it was the Sunday papers, the big-ass ones, too. He finally said, okay, today, I'll drive you. And I was like, thank God. I had like 70-some people on this paper route, and it was 27 below zero.
Oh, no.
And like you deliver a paper or two, you had to jump back in the car. It was Mm-mm. like you're running to deliver the paper. Don't sweat, because if you sweat at all, it's freezing on your face.
See, that's not about that life.
It's miserable. I've said to people over and over that I grew up with, why you didn't get out while you had a chance, I don't know. But now you're married with kids. They're all settled into. You're not going anywhere. And it's literally taking a quarter of your life away.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I can do cold. I can't do eyes freezing shut cold. No.
Nick, your dad had the shop. And I'm telling you this. In the cars in the Midwest, the engine block, had a 3-prong plug that came right up to the grill so that you plugged your car in at night to guarantee it would start the next day because of the cold, frigid temperature.
I see. I didn't even know that. Service or that even existed until you brought that to my attention, because we didn't have to do that for any of our
customers.
I had bought
an Avalanche back in the day when I was still in IT, and a friend of mine, his dad worked for GM, and so he could get me the friend and family pricing at the time, and it made it so cheap that I literally bought the top of the line Avalanche with everything except the heated engine block. But that is an option where you can buy a heated engine block so that it doesn't freeze overnight and ruin your... I was like, one, I don't need a heated engine block in Houston.
Right.
But it's amazing that that even has to exist and people live there. Where
another
that's
tidbit.
The requirement.
Another tidbit, because with more of the recent later model cars now, you can get the seat warmers.
Yes.
If you get the seat warmers in the Midwest, make sure that there is a coat or something between you and the seat you're warming, like not just your pants, because what's going to happen there too is you're going to sweat while you're driving the car with the butt warmers on. When you go outside, it's not only going to freeze, but it's going to freeze the material to your ass.
Oh, hey, see, that's not.
Yeah, I don't.
That's a fact.
That's a dumb place to live. I'll tell you right now.
I'm with you. I tell my relatives all the time. My sister texted me the other day. It's -9 and it's 8:30. Well, go to bed. Because you know what? You chose to live there and you're still there. You and your husband are retired. You're still there. That's on you.
Yeah, that's dumb. I was thinking about this. You know, I bought my gun.
Yes. Oh, you did finally get the new one?
I didn't get it. That's what I was kind of on the fence about mentioning, the fact that the place where I bought it from. Is it too much to, like, if they say, okay, we're going to email you when it comes in. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I just got the email. It got here 4 days ago.
And they didn't let you know?
No. So I wanted to take it to Dallas with me so I could shoot it. I had nothing to do on Saturday.
You could have.
I could have. I could have stopped on the way up there or done it in the morning before I came to work. And so I get online today and I'm chatting with the lady and I'm like, well, what happened? You know, where is it? I've been charged for it. Where is it? She goes, oh, well, it's been at the store. And I was like, well, why didn't anybody email me? She goes, well, they're not supposed to. I was like, well, when I ordered it, it said I would get an email. She goes, oh, I don't know.
Oh, that's nice.
So so then I get an email now, obviously after it's like, that's too late, right? Is it worth, I mean, do you complain about something like that? Or are you just like, oh.
Well, then they bring a gun to the table and then I'll bet they're off.
I just feel like. I was so mad because I wanted to go shooting this past weekend.
I wouldn't know. I've never purchased a gun. I mean, I could show you. I could teach you about trigger safety, but I've never purchased
a gun.
You
totally could. But yeah. I'm like, I don't know if it's even worth getting mad about. Probably not, right? Like, it's probably.
I mean, I guess
just
you
like,
could complain. It's not like they're gonna shoot you.
Yeah, oh, God, that was extreme.
I mean, you bought something. It's something you purchased.
I should have been. Yeah, I
based
don't
on
know.
The discount, how flippant she was with you, she's not going to care.
Yeah, and it was an online lady too.
Yeah,
it wasn't
she's
like,
yeah. Wow, she's already moved on from it.
Yeah, she didn't.
Days
what
ago,
she did is
when
she
the gun
was just
came
like,
in,
let's just send him the email so we can cover our ass so we don't get in trouble.
Yeah, exactly right.
Ugh.
All right, that'll do it for a Monday on the show, but still four more ready to go for the rest of the week, and we hope you're along for the ride. We're going to bow out so that the Blitz can step on in. You know, Fred, AJ, and Aaron are going to be with you next. So stay tuned for the Blitz. For Nick, for Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.